Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yo, what is up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Kill the Mockingbird. I'm your host, Sean Chris. And today I have a special guest, our good friend Joanne Nicole from White Rabbit and her own page, right? What is it?
Redpill_daily.au.
Yeah, you got it perfect. See, I was going to mess that up for sure. How are you doing this morning? Right? You're morning over there, correct?
Yeah. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning.
Oh, nice. You're way ahead of us. You're ahead. No wonder you're not only are you ahead of us in the tyranny, you're ahead of us in general.
Yeah. It reminded me of that Nancy Pelosi one. Good morning, Sunday morning.
Yeah. That's how we won. They made that there. That one's hilarious. Yeah. So, how is it over there? As I seen yesterday, there was a lot of like activity going on. Like I seen people seem to, it seems that more and more provinces, or I don't know if you guys call them provinces or states, are kind of like getting more active, it seems.
Definitely. So Melbourne yesterday had their biggest rally ever, probably the biggest protest in Australia ever. Maybe there was, a guy who a helicopter pilot who's been covering protests for years said there was probably about 100,000.
Wow.
People yesterday. We had another one here yesterday as well. I think there was probably about I wasn't actually there. Some people are saying 1,000. But yeah, people are starting to wake up. So Australians are definitely waking up to what's happening, but the government just seems to be getting more and more insane every single day. The state governments. So in Queensland, they've basically brought in full medical apartheid. So unvaccinated people are no longer allowed in hospitals except for births, deaths, or emergencies.
Wow.
Hospital. Yeah. It's insane. So in Queensland, unvaccinated people, apparently they're not allowed. See, as of a certain date, I'm not actually sure what the date is. Maybe someone in the comments can clarify that, but Queensland at the moment, the premier there's probably one of the worst. They seem to be in a competition with each other to see who can be the most tyrannical.
Yeah, what a great competition. That's a nice competition to be. And isn't it because Dictator Dan, that he's Melbourne, correct?
He's Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Melbourne. And aren't they trying to pass some legislation where like it's almost like he can call a pandemic or lockdown whenever? Like it's pretty much free power, right? Isn't it like almost like the interpretation of what they're trying to pass is going to be like anytime we want to shut it down and turn it back on?
Yep, legitimately making him a dictator. So what's actually been happening in most of the states is that they keep passing emergency powers. So they extend the emergency powers. So basically the legislation states that an emergency powers bill can only go for a certain period of time. In Western Australia, it was 2 weeks, but they would just keep renewing it every 2 weeks. Over here, he's just next year. And basically what the permanent pandemic bill, so it's permanent emergency powers. So they won't even have to renew the emergency powers. It's basically giving him a permanent dictatorship.
just forever. And he can make whatever rules up, right? And can't he change the rules and redirect them as he sees fit?
Yeah, pretty much. And it also, like, it labels people as classes. So certain classes of people can be treated differently based on their – and I'm pretty sure it's, like, because of their attitude or something like that. That's actually part of it. So they can go by if people have attended a certain event, people of certain beliefs. So, like, basically they could effectively say that everyone who went to the protest is now classed as a different class of citizen. It's crazy.
And they have they would have different freedoms, so to speak, of, right? Like, the different classes of people.
Yeah. So that's actually what the Premier of Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk, or Anastasia Palaszczuk, as a lot of people are calling her now, she came out publicly and said that the vaccinated people are going to be rewarded by having more freedoms than the unvaccinated people. So what she's done effectively is just take the rights of other people to reward the ones who've gone and got vaccinated. So reward some people by punishing other people. It's like she thinks Queensland's a bunch of masochists or something.
And then the... Now on TikTok, there's like, I've been on TikTok a lot lately, right? Like, and there's like obviously a bunch of different things going on there. There's people on there that actually are saying that the Americans like me that are saying stuff like that, oh, Australia's tyranny and this and that. They're saying that we don't know what we're talking about. And then there will be Australians on the comments and saying, yeah, it's fine here. But what I tell people is I feel like it's the same out here, right? Like, obviously, like, not the same level, but where – and first of all, you got some people that like it, and then there's some people that it's not really affecting yet, right? Like, it may be hard in New York, but then you go to, like, Iowa and it's fine, right? Like, there's not a lot of going on. And I think that sometimes they're asking somebody in Australia that's not in Melbourne, that's not in Victoria, that are not in these – strongholds that are really getting taken over at the moment.
Well, this is the thing. There are even people in Victoria. So you've got like the devoted, they call themselves the hashtag I Stand With Dan crew. They, despite what's happening, they don't care. So this has definitely been the most disappointing thing of everything throughout this, is the not just apathy of part of the population, but they almost seem to take delight in seeing what's being done to other people and laugh about it. So when Melbourne came out of their lockdown just recently, basically people were allowed to go out to restaurants and pubs if they'd been vaccinated. So there was a bunch of nurses and teachers protesting in a park across from a cafe or a restaurant. And there was a camera guy there recording the people in the restaurant standing out the front, basically pointing and laughing at the people who'd lost their jobs. They actually take delight in it. It's sick. Like, I see comments from people like last weekend when they had a protest, I saw comments from people saying, oh, look at those losers. Isn't it nice to just be able to be at the pub today? Look at all those losers who have nothing better to do. Like, this is just the attitude of some people. Like, I don't know what's wrong with these people, but we get that everywhere. So even here in Western Australia, like, we haven't actually had as many lockdowns as most states. I'm pretty sure we've spoken about that before.
Yeah.
We've had 3 2-week lockdowns this year. And the reason is, so, you know, we know that they can manipulate the cases by turning up the cycle threshold. So we got our first lockdown in February this year, based on one case, an asymptomatic case. So the whole city got locked down for 2 weeks. One of the laws they tried to say was like two people driving in a car, even if they lived in the same household, had to wear masks if they were driving in the car together. It's like, I feel like they're just testing the population just to see how compliant they actually are. And what amazed me was that people complied to this. Most people complied. Like, I think in that 2 weeks, I might have saw like 3 people who weren't wearing face masks, even if they walk in, even going for a walk in the park. And this is what's happened. So, like, this is like what you were saying, people who haven't actually been affected by it and they don't realize how serious this is and what these legislations are actually leading to. So over here, basically, the only reason McGowan hasn't locked down Western Australia as much is because of the iron ore industry. He actually passed the legislation back in 2020 called the Iron Ore Protection Act. So basically, that was he prioritised that because his excuse is that it keeps the Australian economy afloat, which to a degree it does. But the main reason is because he's a puppet of China. So that, I believe, is why Western Australia hasn't had as many lockdowns as other states. Now, as of the 1st of December, I think it is, everyone who works in the mining industry has to be vaccinated. Wow. So that's why we had a really big turnout at our last big rally. And since then, McGowan's came out and said basically, I think it's as of, I'm not 100% sure of the date, but effectively anyone who works in a grocery store, a cafe, pretty much, I think it covers 70% of the workforce here, has to be vaccinated.
Well, plus the coal mine is going to be difficult because China gets a lot of their coal from you guys. Like, people don't realize that either. You guys supply China because China can get coal, but the coal you guys have, I guess there's difference, you know, of coal that burns better, that lasts longer. And that's why they've been importing coal from Australia for a while. So that would be interesting, too, if a lot of people band together to not do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think the amount of people they might lose is sort of estimated to be about 20%, but I think it's more. But people are starting to get really fed up. Like, it's really disturbing. So people over here worship Mark McGowan. Like, there's guys who, like, grown men have cardboard cutouts of him or framed pictures of him in their houses. Like, it's this level of insanity that's just completely unbelievable. But that's starting to change. So I don't think the guy's going to be able to show his face in public anymore. He actually went out to some areas last week and he was bombarded by people. Like, I think the days of him being able to go out to the pub and everyone crowds around for selfies is definitely over. So we're seeing a mass awakening happening for sure, without a doubt. You know, I see the change of the language in the comments sections on his Facebook posts and basically the amount of people that are now turning up to these protests. We have a protest next weekend and we're expecting around 50,000, but it could be more. It could be more. But, like, the concern I have is that these people have an agenda and they're not going to roll over easily just because they see a lot of people out there protesting. So the protests are important. And it's important for people to stop complying, but it's going to get worse before it gets better, I believe.
Sure, and so I think that they're implementing a lot to me, like, obviously here too. But from what you're saying, what I'm getting from what you're saying, is they're really trying to push this, like, social credit score thing. You see how, like, people are loving telling on people, loving snitching on people, trying to, like, do what they're told and get a treat, you know what I mean, kind of deal. And it seems like you guys are really a test ground for that and for everything. And how far can you push it? You know what I mean? It seems like they're testing to see how far they can push you guys.
Definitely. And they actually, they're passing a legislation in the federal government is passing this legislation called the Digital Identity Legislation. So they already have that in place. They're setting it up. They already have all the facial recognition cameras out in the streets of all major cities. So, you know, we know where it's going and people don't understand this. Even the people who've been vaccinated need to realise that this is about more than a vaccine and more than a virus.
It's about control.
Definitely. Another thing that's happened over here, actually, so, you know, we know that they basically want to turn the world into a global communist dictatorship where, you know, you own nothing, effectively. So what they've done over here, and I don't know if this has happened in the States as well, so what they've done is effectively make title deeds digital. So apparently, like, you know, if you own a house, they've allegedly destroyed all the original title deeds and they've made them digital. So how easy would it be to say there's been a hack and it's hacked and everyone's lost the proof that they own their house and bang, just like that, no one owns anything or there's no proof that people own anything.
Or just change the who's on the deed, you know? Like, I could easily go and, like you said, hack, and then, like, hey, that's not your name on there. That's my name, you know? Yeah, I haven't heard of that out here, but I'm sure that that is coming because everything is trying to go digital and put everything online, like, to where it's everything's, like, supposed to be catered towards access. What I've also noticed is subscriptions. You know, there's tons of subscriptions to everything because I even saw the other day out here we have a liquor store called Circle K, right? They were like, yeah, get your Circle K subscription, $5.99 a month, and you can get unlimited drinks. So what I'm seeing is that in the corporate world, they're trying to get people attached to these subscriptions because it's guaranteed money, right? Like, what if you get one soda a month, normally...
So it's kind of- Oh.
Yeah.
The cost-positive model. Right. Okay.
So I think they're trying to nudge us like in all those ways and then use the technology that they have. Because I don't think it's all as far advanced as we think, but they do have things to where they are pushing everything to, like, they don't want any more paper documents. Every document seems like they want it to go digital. Just like the currency, they want to go digital. And the 2020 ID, you know, the 2020 ID was supposed to be pushed out, and they have been. That's the initiative of the what are they called? The I can't think of their stupid name. The and I hate them too. With all the countries, what is it called? Where all the countries go? The UN. It was a UN initiative, you know, and that's what I don't understand is, like, why people like the UN, like, supposedly, like, I mean, we know, but I'm just saying at surface level, why aren't they speaking up? Because regardless if you think the coronavirus is this deadly or not, shouldn't you be, like, backing anybody that's getting, like, tyrannical governments? Like, just because, like, there's a famine or there's some kind of – you're not allowed to just do drastic measures and anything goes. But it seems like a lot of people in the international community as well are not – people, but I'm talking about other governments have turned a blind eye, like, ah, oh, that's all right. Like, but I think that's because a lot of them have that same game plan. Cause going to, like, the COP26, you know, that climate change summit, all the big players were there. I think that's all the push. And I'm really worried because I'm starting to see, cause a lot of people say that you guys are 6 months ahead of us, right? So we're like, and I think we're starting to get into that. Because they already have the mandates now. Now, some of our courts, like, it's good with our courts that they're going to try to shut down that Joe Biden mandate. But the people already are, like, kind of split, just like it is out there. As, like, some people are just, like, all in on, hey, this is what we got to do because I'm not a selfish person. I'll take as many boosters as I need. And they've already set that mindset. So it's, like, set a stage to where something has to happen. And I liked, like, we talked about it before in a live. And then I see that you had that. Remember, you sent me that flyer for, I think it's December 12th, that SOS, like, kind of to stand with Australia. And I think that's what people need to do, not just stand with Australia, but show, like, hey, we don't want this here in New York. We don't want this here in Michigan. We don't want this in California, Canada, wherever region you're at. We need to keep finding days like that where you can see a world movement, because it looks a lot like, if it's just 10 people in my town, doesn't look that scary, right? But if you see thousands of people across the globe at one time, maybe not even thousands, millions, you know what I mean? Millions and close to, like, a billion people, that really would show a message, because we have to start, like, finding ways to show a message to these people. We have to, like, hit them where it hurts somehow, especially if we can hit them in the pockets, like not paying taxes, trying to find way loopholes around paying taxes and defunding the government that way, right? By not giving them our dollars, you know, getting small time people, like out here, I think it was in Virginia or maybe Pennsylvania, they had a guy that went up against a Senate incumbent. The guy was like 20 years in the Senate, like always against a truck driver who the one guy spent $1 million on his campaign and lost. The truck driver spent like a couple of thousand, I think. So we need to get more people involved in everything, like whether it's not just voting, but like actually not just protesting, but literally saying, hey, this is the new school we're going to. This is a doctor's office that you can go to that I don't care. You're not going to shut me down, even if I have to have a back room visit. You know what I mean? We're going to have to get, I think, to that level for a little bit, like you said, because it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I was looking at something yesterday, and they were saying that basically what we're probably going to see is like a black market medical system open up, like an alternative medical system, because there's so many doctors out there who are doing the right thing. They're being shut down and silenced. They are going to need to earn a living. And people, if they're not allowed to go into doctor surgeries, they're still going to need medical care at some stage. There's a where there's a demand, someone's going to provide that. So I think that's probably what we're going to see happen. Alternative sort of alternative markets with everything. People will probably start going back to trading things as well. But I think it's definitely going to get really interesting. Yeah, we need to see millions of people in the streets. That's what's going to put an end to all this. But we also need to try to wake up the police, people in the military and the police, like down in Melbourne. Little hearts that said, "We need you," and handing them to the police.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
we have to try. It has to be that way.
Even though I've been saying this too, but even like people that think the other way, right? Like people that, like, obviously there's some people that are so far gone that's nothing you could say, but yeah. Finding ways to break through, like, don't say, hey, just say things that are logical, like, look at this, like, logically, like, literally, like, you have to use, mm-hmm. like, not just logic, but something that speaks to them, right? Like, somehow where you can show evidence, you have to, like, find creative evidence for people, and it's going to take time, but we have to work at it, not like, oh, you're dumb, you don't get it, that this is tyrannical, because that plays into it. They go, oh, see, they said that on the news, they said that you would say that, so we have to find different approaches where, like, hey, do you think, like, you know, find things that have nothing to do with coronavirus, though, so that they could be on the same level? Like, you go, hey, didn't they embezzle money here, or didn't they do this? Where you can show a factual evidence piece of where they go, yeah, you're right, I shouldn't trust the government because of this, and then kind of get the ball rolling. Because
yeah, exactly. We need something different for everyone. And what most people are affected by is their pocket, their hip pocket. If they think they're going to lose out financially by it, that is effectively what's going to wake people up. But the other thing is, and this is how I have success. So I actually don't know anyone close to me who's going to take the you know what. The best way to wake people up is to repeat something over and over again. So pick a particular thing that just blows it out of the water and just repeat it over and over and over again, because the repetition is how people have been brainwashed. If you can crack the trust people have in the mainstream media, that's the key. They need to realize that they can't trust the mainstream media. So I suggest to people, you pick one thing and just bombard them with that one particular thing until they get it, because they will get it if you just repeat yourself. It's a fact. And it doesn't matter if people think you're annoying. You need to pick a particular topic and repeat it over and over and over again. So one that I like to use is the fact that people who have COVID and they die of any particular reason are listed as a COVID death. You know, did you see that video from New Zealand? It was on the mainstream media. A guy was murdered, but he tested positive for COVID and he was listed as a COVID death. And the reporter was even saying the reason this is because the World Health Organization recommends that this is how you're supposed to count the deaths. So that right there is a red pill for people, that particular thing. And then they're going to start asking, okay, so how many of these deaths are actually not COVID deaths at all? One of the things, this is the problem that a lot of people in Australia have. So why are people here? Despite the fact that Australia hasn't had that many COVID deaths at all, really. And actually, I think the average age of death in Australia is like 76, and the average age of death of people dying from COVID is 78. So, you know, basically, people who were dying, who were going to die, who were in nursing homes, they just list them as COVID deaths. It's the same situation that was happening over there. But there was actually a lot of people coming out saying that the nursing homes were getting paid like $25,000 every time they listed someone as a COVID death.
Well, they were getting incentivized, for sure, like especially in regular hospitals. So if you had a regular death, you might get like $1,500, but if you got a guy that was on a ventilator and he was considered a COVID death, you were getting $7,500. So that, and then when they shut everything down, having like all the surgeries, like, and all that stuff, that was 80% of their profit. So they had to go for that incentive, whether they wanted to or not. They had to do it because, or those hospitals would have been shut down.
Yeah, exactly. It's all, you know, you can easily wake people up to the fact that there's corruption and people do things for money. It's just sometimes hard to get people, because people need to see the bigger picture, you know. Even the people who are out there who've been vaccinated, some of them are waking up with the possibility of the booster shots. And then I see a lot of people out there saying, oh, I can't wait, I'll go get my booster tomorrow. I feel like it's doing something to people's minds. It's almost like some people get really injured and get really sick from the vaccines, and some people almost like they get into a craze. So I actually had a friend, more of an acquaintance, who did not want to get it. She was a fairly rational, critical thinking person. She went out and got one dose, and it was almost as if she was like addicted to the vaccine. She's like, oh, I feel great. I can't wait to go and get another one. I'll get 10 tomorrow if I had to. Like, this is the effect it's having on some people, which is really strange. Have you seen that? Have you seen anyone respond like
I've
that?
I've only know like a few people that got it in general, like yeah. at work, like a couple of the salespeople, but they're older, and like I didn't see them after they got it. And then one of my one coworker, but like she didn't really. We don't really talk or anything, so I didn't really notice yeah. anything. But I've seen it online as far as, like, I'm just saying in my personal life. But online, yeah, I've seen that, like, where people are like, oh, I feel invincible. I feel like they get – but I think some yeah. of it's, like, part of the hype, right? Like, I think we're under a mass yeah. hypnosis right now, and where people really buy into like, once you buy into it, it's, like, it's hard to unbuy it, right? And who knows why yeah. they switch their view. Like, imagine someone's single, right? And they're like, I don't really know about the vax and this and that. But then they get into a relationship. And this new person that they're trying to show that they're better, you know, you put your best foot forward, and maybe they're for the vax. You can see people swaying, yeah, you know, and then exactly. once they sway yeah. those ways, like, nobody wants to be wrong, right? So now that they already swayed that way, they're going to continue to be like, I got to double down, I got to triple down, I got to keep saying that, beat this drum of like, no, it's good. Like, oh no. And then nobody wants to be like, talk about myocarditis and some of the things that are happening with people because they've already taken it. So out of fear, they want to not like talk about it. Exactly. They don't want to be like, yeah. oh, I don't have it. Like,
it's like a lot of people, I think they bought into it basically at the start, and they've invested a lot of themselves in this whole, let's call it a scam. So to admit that they've probably said nasty things about people who don't want to get it or weren't wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. They would be faced with the choice of admitting they were wrong and acted like a dick, or they can keep pushing it and not, you know. A lot of people, I feel like, they just want to be right. They don't actually care about people's health. They just care about being right. So you've got people out there who take delight in seeing the unvaccinated people punished for not taking the vaccine because they want to feel like there was a reason they took it.
Sure.
Like, they believed that they were doing the right thing by not taking it. And the vaccinated people, unvaccinated people, nothing bad is happening to anyone. So, like, you've got millions of people all across the world going out to these protests. Most of them are unvaccinated. Why aren't they all dropping dead? It's like the people who said things like, you know, you see comments from people saying they're all going to get COVID and die. I hope they end up dead. Down in Victoria, there was a woman sitting outside in a restaurant, and she said to someone walking past without a mask on, I can't wait to see you on a ventilator. It's like they actually want it to happen because they've said that it would happen and they want to be right.
Sure. Like, and then not that they want they want to be accepted too. So many people want to be accepted. And I think during this time, the people that we're seeing that were like really complying, I think a lot of these people were loners, people that didn't necessarily have a tight circle, people that weren't able to reach out to people. And now they had a way of like feeling involved, feeling like they're a part of something. And I think they don't want to let that go regardless of what's really going on.
It's become the identity for a lot of people. So over the last 2 years, some people might have just had felt like they had meaningless lives. Suddenly there's this massive danger and they feel like they're actually doing something to save the world. They're saving the world by wearing a mask, by staying home. So that's sort of part of their identity now. So to admit that that was all for nothing, I think that's the hard thing for a lot of people, that they've literally invested the last 2 years of their life feeling like they were doing something good. And they have to face the reality of the situation that, we've been lied to. And I think that's really hard for people to admit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that people, less than 1% of people are capable of admitting they were wrong on an intellectual issue. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And especially like, this is, I sort of use this analogy, okay? So people's perceptions, I think of it as like a house. Like you build a house, the ideas you hold and your beliefs and values is like a house. So you build that with all the information you take in. Now, if you don't try to get down to a solid foundation, so if you don't actually get to the foundation of truth before you start putting your beliefs and opinions on top of it, you're basically going to build a structure on something unstable. So if someone comes along and shows you that everything your opinions are based on is a lie, it's like pulling the rug out from underneath something mm-hmm. and the whole thing's going to fall down. But also, if you have, say, let's call it like a brick of truth and it needs to fit into that structure, but it can't based on the fact that everything they believe is based on lies, for people to have to rebuild everything they think they know in their mind, it basically like smashes people's perception, like they would have a complete ego death. So that's why I feel like when you're trying to tell someone something that's true or show them an evidence that this whole thing is not what they think, they will get defensive because they don't want to have to rebuild their entire perception of the world. So they'd rather just defend it vehemently.
Plus there's like American Idol syndrome, like where, like, I don't know if you've watched American Idol, you know, they're like, yeah, I've been singing for like 20 years. My grandma said I'm like the best singer. And then they go in and they're like super horrible and they can't hear it. They can't hear even rappers and, yeah. And artists of all kinds. They think they're super talented, but they can't hear it. Like everybody else can, but because they've coached themselves to like only believe this thing or like believe that that sound that they make is what it's supposed to be. And I think that's the same with this, is that people are like, no, this smart guy that I always listen to. And plus, that's another thing too, is that people are like so much is going on in their lives that they don't feel like they have the time to look stuff up. So they just rely on their favorite talking head, whether it be me, whether it be Chris Cuomo, whether it be whatever mainstream news or podcast. And they just won't. One, two people, and they're like, all right, I kind of like their opinion. I'm going to go off that. And it can't be that. It has to be open where you're able to talk about it. Because I remember when last year when this all first started and I was digging through stuff right away and we were seeing about Kerry Mullis. And I would show people Kerry Mullis being like, hey, the PCR test is not designed to show infection. And people would be like, where do you find that on YouTube? And you're like, yeah, but he's like the guy that invent. Like, I get it if it's like me saying it or some random dude saying it. I'm like, this is the dude that invented it, though. Like, when I knew people weren't when people were being skeptical of the thing that I'm like, this should not even be argumentative. Like, I shouldn't have to argue with you. This guy is telling you what it does, and he invented it, won a Nobel Peace Prize. But at that moment, I knew that, okay, people are under a hypno. Like, this mass hysteria, the fear got so bad that people are under a spell of where now they're like, government, please save me. I don't know what to do. Please save me. And they don't know how to get out of that.
Yeah, I think the fear is a weapon. Like when people are under the influence of fear, some part of the brain doesn't work properly. They literally just can't think critically because they go into survival mode. So it does something to the brain. They actually go into survival mode. But like that's the thing. Like so when this all first started, I was instantly questioning it because, you know, back in the days of swine flu, we were seeing all those things about a lot of people thought that was going to be the big thing that brought this totalitarian control system in. You know, we were seeing all those plastic coffins and stuff on trains and things like that. So I was aware of it since back then. And when this all started, I'm like, oh, okay, this is just swine flu 2.0. Surely people aren't going to fall for this. Or at least after a couple of weeks, they're going to start waking up and realizing that, oh, no, people aren't dropping dead in the streets. This is all overblown. But they didn't. Like something, I don't know what it was, whether it was some kind of subliminal. I think it was the videos coming out of China.
Yeah, to be honest. Definitely. I was saying the same thing.
That put the fear into people's minds. Like, think about it. If we didn't see those videos, I don't think people would have taken it so seriously at all. And still people don't question what that was. Like, what was that?
Yeah, then and it was we were never revealed. Like, yeah, because they had people actually looking in the streets and the hospitals look chaotic. For us, I can't speak for what's going on out there, but I think for us, like, it was everybody kind of felt like, you know, the first 2 weeks and then there was a first month or so. And then I think that people were getting – I've noticed every time people seem to – be tired of this, like the mandates or anything going on, you know, even last year of all the excessive government overreach, that they do something else. Like something else happens. You had George Floyd. Then you have like a whole different thing. Now we have the Trump and the election. So they're constantly like for us to keep cycling it. So as soon as you're like, as soon as you're getting fed up with coronavirus and you're starting to feel like you're getting people like where they're like, you know what, man, you're right, man. Fuck this shit, man. You know, you're definitely right. Something else happens to push us back to those issues. And one big issue out here, they also do, they throw this all the time, is the abortion issue, because it's such a polarizing issue that people are dug in the sand on one side or the other, that they like to throw those kind of things out there that are going to definitely get us divided. So then they go, well, I got to believe the coronavirus stuff because this guy believes he's pro-choice and I'm pro this or like whatever you stand on, and then that's where you go lean towards. You go, I guess, because all the people that are for climate change are for the vaccine, so I'm for that. That's why I even like to tell people, but like I'll always say this, I'm like a broken record. I say if they were really trying to fix the climate and the whole environment, I said, why aren't they using biodegradable plastics? Hemp can make biodegradable plastic. We've known that for years, like decades, but because they don't want to help us, I was like, why is it that we're always the one that's, why is it always the regular Joe's fault? Like, oh, there's too much carbon, or hey, you're spreading it.
The people who've done the environmental damage for years, they've got rich of it. They've got their power. Now, you can either have more power by getting more money than other people or just taking away money from other people. So I feel like they've got to that point. They've gained as much power as they possibly can through the oil industry, et cetera. Now the next step is to just take away what everyone else has to get more power. And I feel like they're at that stage. So they're the people who've basically caused environmental damage. And although I don't believe that CO2 is causing climate change.
Yeah, I don't think that either.
But you know, they're still trashing cutting down rainforests and throwing pollution and chemicals and all that type of stuff. You know, I feel like if people care about the environment, they should pay more attention to that type of thing. The chemicals being pumped in rivers and things like that, like if they took away all the CO2 from the atmosphere, everything would die. Like people don't understand this. Like this zero emissions thing is a complete load of crap. But yeah, that's the other thing. So a lot of people, I think, like part of the reason some people don't want to admit that the COVID is a lie is because for them to admit that the government is defrauding them effectively. So let's just call them leftists or left-leaning people, or I sort of like to just describe it as someone who wants bigger government. They think that the solution to all the world's problems is to have more government, more regulations, tax people for this, you know, ban this, ban that. That's their solution, right? So if you tell them that the government's the problem, they're like, oh, what's going to happen then? Are we just supposed to let people do what they want? It's like that's their mindset, isn't it?
Sure. And then they're like definitely that's what everybody out here even says. Like, you're right. Like, as soon as you say that, they go, oh, so it's just going to be anarchy then. And you're like, well, no, that doesn't, it's not anarchy or like a tyrannical government. There's more in between, but you're right. That's all they see.
Yeah. And especially in Australia, because Australia, like, we have a massive public sector. So there's a lot of people on the government payroll. Like I think we probably have a lot more people paid by the government than you guys do. And they make fairly decent wage as well. You know, they probably have better working conditions than most people who work, you know, independently or for a private company. So the public sector over here is quite large. So those people working for the government, like I've literally seen this from people. Oh, if I admit that the government's the problem, like they're like the people who pay me. Like they have this allegiance to the system. Yeah, so it's difficult to, you know.
So they're rooted. They're already implanted in there. They're not gonna shift or even try. Like that's what sucks, is those type of people. That's why I think like we have to just show like as much as we can, like and I think I'm with you. I think in the next, like I would not say like the next year, but I would say the next like 4 years, maybe five, we are gonna see a little bit of a split in society around the world where people are that don't buy into this metaverse, the government does everything for me and you know, like they know what's right. And then the rest of us are going to be to build something new. And like you said, black market hospitals, which will turn in, you know, because there still will be leftover infrastructure because it's going to be a big split. And I think then that's what, from there, I really don't know because it's up in the air because I don't know what comes of that. But I do think that they're going to succeed on somewhat of a level, but I don't think like the full level. It's just all the people that are not lazy, not just lazy, but there's a lot of people that love the convenience. They love the convenience of, oh man, I could just press this and this comes. Like, I don't have to leave my house. I like working on Zoom. Oh, I could stay home more and play video games. I can, like, people bought into that whole idea because it was being sold to them for a long time. Just think about, like, rap, you know, rap changed a lot, where now it's all about getting money and getting fancy cars and living this. So it's more about your image, right? It's more about building your image than actually getting a message out there. When hip hop was originated, it was getting the message out there of, like, you know, when they were saying street stuff, it wasn't necessarily to be like, oh, I'm tough. It's kind of like painting the picture of where I come from. And now it's become to where it's just like, hey, build this fake life for yourself. And I think people like that. They want to be their sim character or whatever, you know, build in that metaverse. So I think we are going to have a split, and hopefully more of the youth will get away from the screens and kind of like embrace the outside.
Like, I think a lot of the young people will love this metaverse idea.
Oh, definitely. They're
the type, a lot of them are out there saying, yeah, that'll be cool. I'd love to have a chip in my hand that I can just pay things for. They think, you know, because they've been conditioned through predictive programming that's the way the future is going to go anyway. But yeah, like, I think there's a lot of people, especially in Australia, have not been any worse off except for simply not being able to go outside. And they actually like the lifestyle of being paid to stay home and work from home, like you said. Like, and that's especially, like, because we have such a big public sector. That's those people. So they feel like they've actually been better off. Yeah. And that's the problem. Like, the only way this is going to turn around is when the majority of people say that they've had enough of it. And unfortunately, that only happens when people are personally affected. That's why we started to see all these way more people turning up to protest. So at our last protest, we had everyone there from the health sector and the mining sector. The rest of society doesn't realize that eventually this is going to affect them as well. So as people start to get affected, as these mandates start to affect different people, you see them starting to come out of the woodwork and say, oh, well, it's affecting me now. Oh, I'm going to stand up. So sadly, I feel like that's why it has to get worse before it gets better.
Definitely. And I think that's what they got to see too, because like you were saying, I saw a lot of people cheering on people even out here, like, good, get rid of all those nurses. Good, get rid of those pilots that are not vaccinated. And I go, they go put in all the vaccinated people that want to work. And I'll be like, do you think there's just a pool of workers that, like, there's not just tons of nurses, especially pilots? It's hard to get pilots in general. But people don't see that until that they're affected, where they're like, oh, there's no servers. Oh, there's no nurses. Oh, I can't. My whole plane is grounded and I can't get anywhere. That's what happened here, where people are like, they protested. And we got to see more stuff like that, where the cops do these sick, like, I don't know how you have it out there. They call them like sick outs, right? Where massive amounts of cops will call in sick. Like,
yeah, we call them chuck a sickie.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually had a strike here. I'm not sure how many people actually striked on that day. So, like, it was chuck a sickie, the national sickie. I'm not sure how many people actually did it, though. But, it's the sad question that people seem to have to be affected before they actually stand up to it.
Definitely.
That's the worst part. One of the worst things, like, I can't believe that anyone can rationalize sacking healthcare workers to protect the healthcare system. It's insane.
Well, especially when they were the ones involved in the most supposed deadly time, when there was no vaccine, when it was unknown what it was at all. So if they were able to, if I was in the medical field, like, well, I don't want to take it anyways, but I'm saying if I was in the medical field and I did all that, I'll be like, well, why do I have to take it? I even am ready for them to tell me at my work that, but I don't know if they are or not, but I was going to tell them the same thing. I'll be like, well, you guys weren't worried about it when I was at work every day. The UPS guy isn't vaccinated. None of the UPS, like, UPS isn't mandating it. And they go everywhere. You know what I mean? They go through like 10 buildings before they get to our building. I was like, what's the point? Like, this is useless, stupid shit.
I'm pretty sure Australia Post has mandated it, but we've got a massive postage backlog at the moment, based probably because of all the lockdowns in Victoria and stuff like that. They tried to mandate it. And they must have they must have been going to lose so many staff that they reneged on it And instead of them mandating the vaccine, people who work in the distribution centres have to wear these devices that basically beeps when they get too close to another person. So it's like a digital device that they wear that makes them socially distance. So that's actually happening in Australia.
Yeah, I think I've also saw, I don't know if it was New Zealand or Australia, and I think they have it at Amazon out here. They had like cameras and people, like they paced people now to be like, hey, man, you're a little close. Back up, number, da, 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 like.
Wow. Yeah, they have COVID marshals over here. So businesses have to have a designated COVID marshal to supposedly make sure people socially distance and all this type of stuff. I don't know if they still have them, but they did have that. So it's like, and the thing is, right, you might wonder who would take such a pathetic job, but as businesses close down, and this is another thing, so you might wonder who's going to actually, you know, if they have these concentration camps, who's going to work in them? When you take away people's businesses, people get more desperate for work.
Yeah.
So people are more likely to basically compromise on their principles because there's so many businesses gone under. The economy's being destroyed. There's not many opportunities for self-employment. So people are more likely to go and do something like that if they're getting paid. I feel like that's another reason they want to destroy the economy, because it makes people more desperate to do anything for work.
Yeah, especially when it comes to your family and your kids and stuff. Like people will compromise their morals for a paycheck, like you said, just to make sure that they can feed their kids and stuff. Yeah, and that is a good point, because I think that you make it drastic, because then you force the person to where it's an extreme. Like, you're like, all right, either you do this or your family doesn't eat. And that's hard for people. And I think, like, when people, like, it's not an easy, like, I don't think, I'm not saying that it's, like, you know, trying to stick up for people like that, but I'm just saying that, like, I think that's a difficult decision to make. It's not as easy as all of us thinking, like, maybe I can do that. But luckily for me, I'm in a position that it doesn't matter. But for other people, I kind of, like, you know, I feel bad for them. But at the same time, I'm like, how long are we, like, how long is this going to go on? Like, how can we not say, like, you know, like, you see it, like, and you're like, oh, what can I do? Like, and you're like, well, you could stop doing it. Like, you could stop in, like, and it's, I think, I think the best way to me is that, like, not just protesting, but people need, I've been saying this for a while too, like, gauge where you work. How many people agree with what you think? If you have more than 50%, then you have the leverage. So I think people need to like be at their, like, whether it's police, and be like, look, man, there's more of us than there is of them. Whether it's construction, nursing, whatever, and you need to find each individual place, because if you can make sure that there's 60% less staff, there's no way in hell they're going to mandate it at those places, because they're like, we'll lose our business. So people are still want money. You know what I mean? Like, people are still money hungry and stuff like that. So I think that's the way we do it, is banding together in small groups where we work, because that way we go, hey man, this guy doesn't want to take it, this guy doesn't want to take it. Because I think a lot of people don't know how many people think like them or have the same line.
People need to just talk to people as well. You would be surprised. I'm very outspoken about it. Everyone I come across, basically I tell them what I think about all this, and I'm actually surprised that a lot of people are awake, but they just don't talk about it. So when you talk about it with someone, you actually, you know, give them a permission slip that it's okay to start talking about this, because that's just what people need to do. They need to talk to everyone they know. You need to show people the evidence. And, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of people sort of say, oh, well, people can think what they want. Everyone's entitled to have their own opinions. Well, I disagree. I think everyone needs to try their hardest to convince everyone or show them the truth. You know, don't just be dropping red pills on social media. You need to take the proof to everybody you know and be relentless about it, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this. The only way this is going to stop is when people unanimously stop complying.
For sure, because that's what feeds into it, is the compliance of people, like, where the government, like, because then they could easily go, oh, we're still passing this. Obviously, if you have, like, 70% of the country or city or wherever you're at with pitchforks and tiki torches at the governor's house or the White House or wherever, right? They're going to be like, we should probably not do this. But they don't see that right now. They see the support. They see the pat on the back, like, get him, Dan. Like you said, stand with Dan. That's so, I hate that guy so much. I'm not even from Australia, and I hate that guy. Like, he's such a douchebag.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's really just, oh, it's amazing how much people, that a lot of people idolize these leaders. And the thing is, like, we can look back in history and see how they use propaganda to turn people into, you know, to make people do these types of things. We are at an advantage at this time in history because we have all the information. We can look back on how these things happened in the past. So it's incredible to me that people can't see the patterns.
I couldn't agree more because I've seen like a lot of the stuff that's happening. I think it should be obvious. Like I even tell people, like if you know anybody that works in the medical field, especially imagine during like a mass hysteria moment, all these hysterical people in the hospital, do you think that it's not possible that tests got mixed up? Or do you not think it's possible that as they're testing so many people and they're like, well, yeah, well, then? I'm like, it's not like it's because people go, there's not, everybody's not in on the conspiracy. No, they're not in on the conspiracy. But when the person at the top that's directing the message goes, hey, this is how many cycle counts it is, everybody's going to do it without question because it's considered standard. So like that's the thing that people, and you're right. I've gotten frustrated plenty of times where you're just saying like, to me, what seems as common sense, I'm like, dude, it's not like I'm some like super intelligent, like I'm some brainiac. Like this is, to me, it's just like common sense, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look at it.
I talk to a lot of nurses. So I've met quite a few nurses at these rallies. And just recently, even people I know, the nurses are starting to speak out. So someone I know yesterday, a family member basically was told, this is in Queensland, that they have 2 weeks to get the jab or they have to quit. So they're like, okay, well, I'm close to retirement age. I'm going to quit anyway. And he said that a nurse came into his work last week and told him that she actually works in a hospital in Brisbane and they have a COVID ward and they have a COVID vaccine injury ward. And she said there's more people in the injury ward than the COVID ward. I think the nurses are going to start speaking out, and especially when they lose their jobs, they're not going to have anything to lose. That's when we're going to start seeing the truth come out a lot more, I think. I actually I know a few people who have friends who are nurses who are going to quit, who are going to speak out. Someone who works at the triage in a hospital, and she will not get it because she's seen how many people are coming in with the injuries. So I think the truth is going to start coming out. And I think at this point, when the truth comes out, the people in the people in government at the highest levels who've orchestrated this, they're going to basically be fighting for their own lives. So this is what people need to be prepared for. They will try to push back as hard as possible because they're not just going to back down. When people find out what they're doing, and that's why they're trying to get this control system in place before the majority wake up. I think the majority will wake up. I just hope it's not too late.
Yeah, before like, yeah, because then it will be a way bigger, harder mess to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And like in Queensland, there's a video I have on my page. If you go through my my IGTV stories, I might share it in my stories. Basically, on the Gold Coast in Queensland, they had a group of Chinese people come in to install cameras that would make sure people are socially distancing all around the Gold Coast.
Damn.
It's like, I can't believe it. I'm really shocked, actually. The thing that has surprised me the most, none of this, the way this played out was not a surprise to me because, you know, I've known about Agenda 21 for about 9 years. The thing that has shocked me and I really find it hard to reconcile with is just how people have gone along with it. I never expected that. I expected people to actually see what was happening, but I guess I had too much faith in humanity.
But I think that's what like a lot of these digital screens and social media did, is because it dehumanized like whatever side you're on. Like I said, out here, a lot of it was Trump, Biden, or left, right, or whatever it was. It seemed like with this power of social media, they were able to really polarize these issues and like create huge divides where like, literally like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we could talk to a lefty, a righty, a libertarian, like all these different like political views or even religious views. People would discuss things, but this divide of going to these tribes where like, nope, this is my tribe and I'm in this echo chamber and I just want to hear the same. Yes, yes, good. You're right. Pat on the back. That really became a nuisance around here. And it seems to be because something like that spreading.
soon. I am running low on battery. But yeah, someone just mentioned the 100 monkey theory. That's true. We just need to be the example, and hopefully other people will start to get the courage for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. So where can everybody catch you? And like, what about that, before you get out of here, talk about the December 12th protest in,
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure it was started by Monica Smith. So Monica was the girl who was arrested in Melbourne, and she basically, she's not allowed to attend protests or organise protests in Australia. So I'm not sure if this is what they've done, but basically people around the world need to stand up for Australia, because there are people in Australia who are afraid that if they get arrested, they're never going to be seen again. So what, another thing that the pandemic legislation that they're trying to pass in Victoria, they can imprison people without any reason for as long as they want. So it's effectively full totalitarianism. There's people in Australia who want to leave, who want to basically be given asylum in other countries because of the totalitarian ways the government's going. It's not surprising that people would just, you know, people are sort of concerned that some people are going to start disappearing.
Yeah. So then, you know, it's good to rally, like we said earlier, with everybody, and we'll pass that whole thing around. You know what I mean? So getting more people, like if you can get 10 people in your city, 20 people in your city, and if we could all do it on, what's December 12th, correct?
Yeah, December 12th. So I think it would really be, it would really boost morale for a lot of people in Australia to see that people around the world are standing up for us. But also, you guys know that Australia is the testing ground, and if this goes forward in Australia, it will happen in other countries.
Most definitely. And just let everybody know where they could catch you, like where they could follow you and see your stories.
My account, I'm pretty sure you can click on the top and follow me from here, but it's redpill_daily.au.
Well, thanks a lot for just shedding some light on what's going on in Australia. You know, I'm sure we could do this again, and everybody kind of gets follow Joanne, and thanks for keeping the freedom alive down under.
Thanks for having me on.
Always. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. You know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. All right, we out.
See you guys.
Lord, trap house, travel lord. Little homie serving fiends out in Saginaw. Diego to the bay, pushing mad weight, motherfucker, know the bay. Plenty of fish scale, whipping the product good. Open up retail shops in every hood. Bring the power to the people. Free market and cap, we ain't going peaceful. You're looking frosty. Ricky Bobby Flossin, Dodge a homie like Kwame, Mr. Amber and Crombie. Ain't nothing but a commie. Catch a body hat trick, Sidney Crosby. If you see us with a mask on, stick 'em up. This a robbery. Stick 'em up, motherfucker. This a robbery. Night of the living dead, bass all zombies. Put you in a box, Mr. Amber and Crombie. See the devil in the detail. Whipping a product for the resale. Whipping a product for the resale. Whipping a product for the resale. Whippin' a product for the reset.
Yo, we keepin' shit cheap, movin' through the city. Rap style gritty, keep the corridor busy. Drop them lines, now she's cocaine pretty. $100 bill, knock a bump off a titty. Night of the living dead, we back from the grave. We need antipsychotics to ride this wave. Yeah, we goin' insane, like a punk with the stiffness. The chrome and the biscuits. What you up like you were home doing dishes. Off the microphone, yo, we got it going on. We do illegal business, devil in the detail. Product for the resale, need the horse pill. Dr. Gonzo scripts, hit your bitch ass like cancer boxes strips. Now you with your chick looking like tails from the crib. Off that shit that we flip, yo, we brain sick. Jump on the track, on my Ricky Bobby. Another from behind me, eat your fucking face like a basalt zombie.
Night of the living dead, bass all zombies. Put you in the box, Mr. Amber and Crombie. See the devil's in the detail.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.